It was clutching at its head, as if trying to lift itself off the ground by its ears, and then occasionally banging its head against nearby buildings. While they watched, it pulled a metal mooring post out of the cobbles and started to hit itself over the head. Eventually, the cast iron shattered. The figure dropped the stub, flung back its head, opened a mouth from which red light spilled, and roared like a bull in distress. Then it staggered on into the darkness.
"Eh, that's a golem again," said the duckman. "The white one. I gets heads like that myself some mornings," said Arnold sideways.
"I knows about golems," said Coffin Henry, spitting expertly and hitting a beetle climbing the wall 20 feet away. "They ain't supposed to have a voice."
"Buggery," said foul old Ron. "Dang the twigger for a bang in the fussel on shrimp. Cause the worm's on the other boot. See if he don't."
"He meant it's the same one we saw the other day," said the dog, "after that old priest got topped." "Do you think we should tell someone?" said the duck man.
The dog shook its head.
"Nah," it said. "We got a cushy number down here. No sense in spoiling it."
The five of them staggered on into the damp shadows.
"I hate bloody golems taking our jobs."
"We ain't got jobs.
See what I mean?
What's for supper?"
"Mud and old boots." "Millennium hand and shrimp," I says.
"Glad I got a voice. I can speak up for myself."
"It's time you fed your duck."
"What duck?"
The fog glowed and sizzled around 5 and 7 yard. Flames roared up and all but set the thick clouds alight. Spitting liquid iron cooled in its moulds. Hammers rang out around the workshops. The ironmasters didn't work by the clock, but by the more demanding physics of molten metal. Even though it was nearly midnight, strong-in-the-arms iron founders, beaters and general forging were still bustling. There were many strong-in-the-arms in Ankh-Morpork. It was a very common dwarf name. That had been a major consideration for Thomas Smith when he'd adopted it by official deed poll. The scowling dwarf holding a hammer which adorned his sign was a mere figment of the sign painter's imagination. People thought dwarf maid was better, and Thomas Smith had decided not to argue. The Committee for Equal Heights had objected, but things had mired somewhat because, firstly, most of the actual committee was human, since dwarfs were generally too busy to worry about that sort of thing, and for the most part were unconcerned about matters of height. There's a dwarfish saying, "All trees are felled at ground level," although this is said to be an excessively bowdlerised translation for a saw which more literally means, "When his hands are higher than your head, his groin is level with your teeth." And in any case, their position hinged on pointing out that Mr. Strong in the Arm, nay, Smith, was too tall, which was clearly a sizist discrimination and technically illegal under the committee's own rules. In the meantime, Thomas had let his beard grow, wore an iron helmet if he thought anyone official was around, and put up his prices by 20 pence on the dollar. The drop hammers thumped, all in a row, powered by the big ox treadmill. There were swords to beat out and panels to be shaped. Sparks erupted. Strong in the Arm took off his helmet, the committee had been around again, and wiped the inside.
"Dibbuk, where the hell are you?"
A sensation of filled space made him turn. The foundry's golem was standing a few inches behind him, the forge light glowing on his dark red clay.
"I told you not to do that, didn't I?"
Strong in the Arm shouted above the din. The golem held up its slate.
"Yes. You've gone and done all your holy day stuff. You were away too long."
"Sorrow.
Well, now you're back with us. Go and take over on number 3 hammer and send Mr. Vincent up to my office, right?"
"Yes."
Strong in the Arm climbed the stairs to his office. He turned at the top to look back across the red-lit foundry floor. He saw Dibbuk walk over to the hammer and hold up a slate for the foreman. He saw Vincent, the foreman, walk away. He saw Dibbuk take the sword blank that was being shaped and hold it in place for a few blows, then hurl it aside. Strong in the Arm hurried back down the steps. When he was halfway down, Dibbuk had laid his head on the anvil. When Strong in the Arm reached the bottom, the hammer struck for the first time. When he was halfway across the ash-crusted floor, other workers scurrying after him, the hammer struck for the second time. As he reached Dibbuk, the hammer struck for the third time. The glow faded in the golem's eyes. A crack appeared across the impassive face. The hammer went back up for the fourth time.
"Duck!"
screamed Strong in the Arm, and then there was nothing but pottery. When the thunder had died away, the foundry master got to his feet and brushed himself off. Dust and wreckage were strewn across the floor. The hammer...